The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.
In the life of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't limit his ministry to the four walls of the church. We know that.
What really is the difference between these vision-driven organizations and the Roman papacy?
Being faithful to that relationship doesn't earn you the relationship. It's simply a mark of your being in that committed relationship that God has already set in place.
Any reformation that does need to be brought about, either on a small scale or on a large scale, must always be under the governing and watchful authority of Holy Scripture.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
You probably saw this in the news. There's a story of a church up in North Dakota, and it's a town you probably haven't heard of, Williston. But what's happening in North Dakota and that area is an oil boom, and that means there are jobs. That means there are people who are flooding into that small town. And there's a church there, Concordia Lutheran in Williston, pastor there, Jay Ranke, that decided at some point with people coming by for help, it was time to give somebody, and now a lot of people, a place to sleep. You probably saw the story in the news. We're going to be talking with Pastor Ranke a little bit later on this Friday afternoon on Issues Etc., finding out what's going on up there and what's the best part of being able to give person after person, family after family, a place to sleep in their church and in the parking lot while they're looking for jobs. A very, very interesting story, a big opportunity, and Pastor Ranke, I'm sure, will have a lot of excellent things to say about it. It is an opportunity like many pastors dream of. We'll be talking about a little bit later on the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Friday afternoon. It's the 13th of July. Before we talk with Pastor Ranke, we got the hour ahead of us. That's Issues Etc. comment line, listener email, the Issues Etc. blog of the week. And then after our conversation with Pastor Ranke, we'll be playing Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Four soundbites that we play for you. And then all you do is listen and give us a call and vote for the one that you think ought to be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. Our Twitter address at issuesetc. You could vote in advance either by email, Twitter, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. That soundbite of the week in the last half hour of this Friday's program. I didn't even notice until I just read that it's the 13th of Friday, but I was kind of focusing on the 13th of July because it was on this day in 2010, was it 10? Yeah. 2 years ago that Pastor Matt Harrison was elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so congratulations to Pastor Harrison on the two-year anniversary of his election. It's also Yadier Molina's birthday, by the way. So congratulations to
the catcher for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, he's a great catcher. Perhaps one of the best in baseball right now. Maybe. And so, but I don't have any, it just occurred to me Friday the 13th. I don't notice those kind of things when Fridays fall on 13ths. For me, the only other thing I was thinking was that the 15th is on a Sunday, so we get paid today. That was the only other thing I was thinking. But we got a lot of email, a lot of comments today. But do we got email first, Jeffy?
Yes, this is Linda. She says, am I the only Christian that thinks it's schizophrenic that Christians are worried about losing their religious freedoms while at the same time they're trying to impose their religious beliefs on non-believers? when I see Christians trying to legislate and impose their religious beliefs on non-believers, I'm reminded of how radical Muslims behave. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Linda.
I think maybe the emailer has just lost one thing in the shuffle, and that is the difference between what Islam does in trying to legislate its beliefs and what individual Christians as citizens may do in trying to, I guess some do want to legislate their beliefs. They haven't been particularly successful doing it. But the difference is that Christians still maintain, that is Orthodox Christianity, still maintains a distinction between church and state, between the right-hand kingdom of God, that is the church, where he rules by the word of God and by the forgiveness of sins, the means of grace, and the left-hand kingdom, where God rules through human agencies, governments, authorities, and that is a kingdom where God rules via force and reason. Yeah, that's a distinction that is not just one tracing itself back to the Reformation. Luther articulates it as two-kingdom theology, but it's a distinction that's made by St. Paul and Augustine and many other Christians. It's one that has been kind of part and parcel of Christian orthodoxy for 2,000 years. Not that every Christian ruler or every Christian has ever been consistent with it completely. There have been many who have lived inconsistently with it, but Islam has no distinction between church and state. They don't think of, let's legislate our morality or let's legislate our beliefs. They think that Islam ought to be the government, which is why in those countries where they do have governments and Islam holds political sway, who really rules the government? The religious leaders. They have more influence, more power directly upon the people because there is no distinction between church and state. So Christians are certainly free to try and legislate whatever they want in a democratic society. But let's not compare it to what Islam does when it attempts not only to take over the state, but over everything without a distinction between church and state.
I would simply ask Linda to compare and contrast countries controlled and ruled by Muslims and the religious freedom or lack thereof, as opposed to countries with a majority where Christians sway the majority in
well,
the country.
A good example, not a perfect example, but a good example is our own country, which was ostensibly influenced primarily by Christian thought, a Christian worldview, and was at least nominally run in all of its various offices by Christians for the better part of its early history. And look at the freedoms that they sought to secure and that they defended with their lives. You don't see the same thing happening in Muslim countries where Muslim and the Muslim worldview holds sway. You simply don't. So I don't think it's an apt comparison. Now, should Christians be concerned about losing their religious freedom? Yes. Are we guaranteed we won't? Nope. We have no guarantee in this world that we will be able to enjoy the kind of religious freedom that we have in our country and other Western countries for hundreds of years. There's no guarantee of that. And it's not essential to the survival of the church, not in the least.
Hi, this is Chad from Hudson, just calling in to comment on the bishop's, address to his community. I wanted to go back to Todd's analogy of if you don't approve of the lifestyle, then obviously you don't love them enough. But I think they take it one step further and say that if you do not approve, that you hate them. And they use that, I think, as fuel for their cause, for their passion, to move their movement forward. So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that. Thank you.
I don't know if Bishop Robinson would explicitly go that far to say, well, if you don't approve of our lifestyle, then you hate us. In fact, we have a quote that we often play in one of our opening montages where he says, well, we've managed to get people to stop hating us. Now we need to get them to approve of us, to affirm us. So I don't think the bishop would say that, but you're right. There are many rhetorically in the gay rights movement who equate any kind of disapproval, anything short of total 100% affirmation, not just tolerance, but total 100% affirmation as fear or hatred. They do. It's not intellectually honest. It's not honest at all. But that's kind of the sign of the moral weakness of any kind of movement, when it considers any opposition, any questioning, anyone who isn't 100% on board as either afraid or hateful. That's not an honest card to play in any debate. And I would, to give Bishop Robinson credit, I didn't hear him say that. He did imply that if you don't approve of homosexual, bisexual, transgendered, and lesbian lifestyles, then you don't love them. But I don't think he goes so far as to say you hate them. But many do. You're quite right.
Hello, this is Petrina from Wisconsin. Bishop Robinson's speech, though thoroughly repugnant, also served as a challenge. How would I speak to him? Where would I start? He's an example of the false understanding of so many today. And trying to start a meaningful discussion is often like trying to lasso a rattlesnake. I have heard it is best to start with Jesus Christ. Could I say something like, who is Jesus? As always, thank you for your wonderful Christ-centered programming.
Well, thanks for listening. I concluded some of my analysis of the bishop's speech as far as we got in it in that program by saying Jesus gets lost in the shuffle of all of this activism. In fact, Jesus is just brought along as a fellow traveler. He's just an example of someone in the bishop's mind who fought for the truth. He even almost went so far as to say that Jesus' struggle during his life leading up to the cross was the same as the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered struggle for equality in their lives. He did say that. He did say that. But there again, Jesus is just an example, like Martin Luther King Jr. in his struggle for civil rights. So, Jesus still gets lost in the shuffle. Who is Jesus to them? A comrade in arms, a poster boy, if you will. And that's far short of savior for sinners. We'll be right back. The sooner the better. You gotta wait a minute, wait a minute.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the divine service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The hymn Thy Strong Word did cleave the darkness, playing at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's a great Lutheran hymn from a Lutheran composer of the 20th century, by the way. But we don't confine ourselves to the 20th or the 19th, 18th, 17th, 16th. We have the church's music from all its centuries playing 24/7 at Lutheran Public Radio. It's sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Now, before the break, we had a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line. I think she was asking for some advice on how to deal with someone like Bishop Gene Robinson. Where do you begin in a conversation? And she suggested we start with Jesus. Who is Jesus? It's a great place to begin. But be aware of what role Jesus plays in this kind of a theology. He plays the role of kind of general. He's Che Guevara, okay? He's a liberator and a poster boy and a person who looks nice on a T-shirt and evokes kind of a general sense of we've got somebody really cool on our side. But that's about it. Now, the bishop will acknowledge him as Savior, but not Savior for sins like you and I might think. Because the list of sins in the catalog, the ever-diminishing list of sins in the catalog of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered movement, it's very short indeed. Now, he was willing in his speech to call a sin patriarchy. That's a sin. So Jesus came to free us from patriarchy. Of course, patriarchy is such a big hat, it fits almost anyone's head. So whatever you want it to be. But when you have a kind of liberation theology at work here, Jesus gets co-opted for the cause. And he's hardly the cause's leader. He is, in many ways, as I said, he's Che Guevara. He's long gone. He's dead, but he looks great on a poster. And you can kind of invoke him when you want some moral authority or some theological authority. Now, that's going to be a long shot from the Jesus that you want to talk about, the Jesus who's the substitute for sinners, the Jesus who is not who doesn't rubber stamp whatever cause you think you need to push in society or the church. But it's the only place to start, in my opinion, because the real difference here is not over whether something is right or wrong. The real difference is, and you've put your finger on it, who is Jesus? Not who do you want Jesus to be, or what can you get, what kind of cause can you get him to sign up for, but who is he? And once you've established who he is, then you have to take seriously what he says. That's something that the bishop and his followers really don't want to do.
More on Gene Robinson's speech. This comes from Don. He says, I'm a Baptist pastor in Michigan and a regular podcast listener for the past couple of years. Well, Don, you know we do love our podcast listeners. I greatly appreciate your handling of current cultural and church topics. You have helped me tremendously in my discernment of the secular worldview that is prevalent inside and outside the church. I just had to comment on your review of Bishop Gene Robinson's speech. When he compared himself to Christ in his suffering for the homosexual agenda and also quoted the Bible equating his hardships to suffering for righteousness, I almost lost my lunch. I was eating at the time. This was the first time that I wished I was listening live, because I would have called in. I am shocked and appalled at the audacity of those who promote wickedness as righteousness and turn around and call righteousness wickedness. Thank you for sharing this absolutely clear example of the homosexual agenda and for giving me ammunition for helping to lead my congregation in battling for righteousness. Now, the works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. Please keep up the good work, and thank you for listening, Don, in Michigan.
Now, we might be tempted to think, and I thank you for listening, especially we do love our on-demand listeners. I mean, that's why we do listener email, because we get that volume of email, but also because Issues Etc. email and comment line are for those people who are not listening in real time and still have something to say, still have something to contribute. We might be tempted to think that we've got it worse than any Christians ever have, but it's not true. You might not find the open advocacy of homosexuality or lesbianism or bisexuality or transgenderism here and now or 100 years ago. And this is where our limiting our historical perspective doesn't help us. We need to widen our historical perspective and look farther back.
And you do have to go a lot farther back. You have to go back probably 1,600 years, where there is that pagan and post-pagan society where Christianity was first born, so to speak, and all of these things were openly advocated. There's a reason why Paul had to tell the Corinthians to avoid sexual immorality and homosexuality and all these other things, like we are called upon to do today. Why? Because in his society, they were approving of such things. When he talked about they not only do them, but they teach others to do them, and they call it good when it's evil, he was talking about what's happening is in his day. So we have the privilege, the dubious privilege of living in a society in many ways very similar to that of the apostles, which means that far from looking at Scripture as some sort of anachronistic, bound to its time word that was only for them there, doesn't apply to us here today, it applies as well as it always has in our circumstances, as well. And it's there for us, not only to warn us, as you rightly say, but to console us with the fact that we're not the only ones who have ever faced this. We aren't. We're not facing anything that Christians haven't faced before us.
This comes from John. He says, thank you for the excellent interview with Pastor Voltorini. Did I pronounce that right? Voltatorne.
You have to say it that way to get it out right, I guess.
Our favorite Italian LCMS pastor, Lutheran Church, Missouri.
We're assuming he's Italian, but...
Yeah, what else could it be?
Who knows?
I want to... Someday I would talk to a Craig. What was it like being a German, a Kraut, growing up in Italian Collinsville? You know? I mean, was that difficult for you?
Well, you got to understand, if you want to picture Craig growing up in Italian Collinsville... It's kind of like West Side Story. There were the Krauts, and there were the Pestos, and Craig was a leader of the Krauts, and I don't know who, and he fell in love. This is a story from his actual childhood. He fell in love with the younger sister of the leader of the Pestos, and it was like Romeo and Juliet. Now this is way before Tori, so don't worry about it, Tori, but. There's lots of dancing and springing around and dance fighting. At least that's how I picture Craig's childhood.
I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. I mean, do you know what to say to that, Craig?
That's how I picture your childhood, Craig.
The Italians were very accepting. It was a wonderful childhood in Collinsville, and we all got along wonderfully.
What were we saying? Oh, Voltatorne.
Yeah, Voltatorne. And John says, thank you for the excellent interview with Pastor Voltatorne. Another problem with worship as entertainment is that if that's all the congregation experiences, that's all at once. Members stroll through the church doors expecting to laugh and then waiting to leave. A steady diet of entertainment sands the doctrines of law and gospel, feeds emotion, and leaves people hopelessly bereft of the blessings found only in preaching Christ crucified, writes John.
And it has two effects. I think you're quite right, John. It has two possible effects. It either so addicts those who are robbed of law and gospel to its pale substitute, entertainment, hearing what you want to hear, good advice on how to be nice, that when they do hear the word of God rightly preached, they blanch, they reject it, they despise it, or, as we find out is sometimes the case, when robbed of God's word Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, when entertained until you just can't get excited about it anymore. Pastor was funny the first time you met him, but starting to get kind of stale. And I think I heard him say this the last time he did his sermon series on sex. You realize that you're missing something. And it builds in you a desire for something more substantive, like the Word of God. And many people, they can leave despising the Word of God. It can build in them a desire for the Word of God. But somebody has to be there to preach it. I mean, isn't it Paul who says, how will they hear unless someone preaches to them? And we've got churches full of people with pastors who refuse to preach to them. He's not talking about preaching just anything the pastor wants to say. That's the passage that runs through my mind when I see Joel Osteen. How will they hear? How will they believe unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone preaches to them? And Joel isn't doing it. He's preaching something, but he's not preaching what Paul is talking about there. So we got churches full of people with pastors who, and pastors in some cases who should know better, who not only don't preach the pure word of God to them in long gospel, they won't do it. They refuse to do it. When it is suggested to them that they could do it, that they should do it, they mock those who say that they should. They drive them from their church. They call them Pharisees. And all these people are saying, sometimes their own parishioners, sometimes critics from the outside, all these people are saying is, Pastor, could you just preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified? What you've been called to do? That's all they're asking for. When we come back, some more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, then we'll get to Issues Etc. blog of the week.
Oh, the lonely days ago, I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Join Issues Etc. regular guests, Gene Edward Veith, Stephen Hine, and me for the Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Topics include teaching Latin, music, history, literature, the catechism, and more. Visit ccle.org for more information. The Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th in Houston, Texas, ccle.org.
Beth and I were looking for some summer tutoring services for our two middle school children. We shopped around and scheduled an appointment with Sabrina at Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville. Justin and Emily were thoroughly tested and are currently taking classes for math and reading comprehension. Sylvan Learning Center has two Metro East locations, Edwardsville, 656-0500, Shiloh, 628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur, 997-3035. Avoid summer learning loss, Sylvan Learning.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Billy Sunday was a professional baseball player turned popular Christian evangelist. He died in 1935. Someone sent me one of his quotes that seems to be custom written for our efforts against abortion. It's war to the knife and knife to the hilt. I'll bark against it as long as I have a head. I'll bite it as long as I've got teeth. I'll punch it as long as I have a fist. I'll kick it as long as I have a foot. When I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to glory and it goes home to perdition. Load up as they are after us next. Unknowingly, Billy aptly summarized the way we must fight against abortion with everything we've got. We should never give up until God takes us home. Thanks, Billy, for your encouraging words.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
God has been calling LGBT people to ministry for a long time.
Wir sind alle Bettler. We are all beggars. That's why we begin our divine service with
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities.
Whenever the congregation in worship seeks to tickle your fancy or cater to your preferences or try to entertain you, then the focus of the service is turned away from Christ, and it focuses worship on us, on what we want, prefer, desire, whatever.
Teach, 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 and teach, and teach, and teach. Maybe that's all we need to do. Recommit it to what we've been given. It is so precious.
1 hour from now, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a taste of those four soundbites. You can listen to them in advance at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also vote in advance. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. For the last half hour of the program, it'll be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can tweet us at IssuesETC. Go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Or you can wait and vote live, 1-877-623-6943. What's next?
This comes from Pat. Pat writes, "You are making me into a thinking Christian so much, I fear I am becoming somewhat skeptical. A relative was telling me about their son's Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation in Texas. They have very good attendance. The first thing you do is grab a cup of coffee and a donut and have a seat in their sanctuary. Well, skeptical me, I reviewed their latest sermon series called Hopefully, specifically the sermon titled Submission. Using Todd's sermon diagnostic to reviewing a sermon, I would say this sermon kind of made it past the second part of mentioning that the hope that we have is in Jesus Christ and that we need to run to the cross. That was about it. The rest of the sermon was telling the Christian what an influence that they have on the rest of the world and what we are doing in our lives to show the rest of the world to be a good influence. I'm appalled that this thinking has invaded the LCMS church too. Yet, I guess I shouldn't be from what I've been learning. Very sad. I so enjoy your program," concludes Pat.
Well, and people are often surprised. I mean, and this is a sad thing. They go to a congregation that says Lutheran, or it says Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and it's false advertising. That's what it is. It really is. They should be able to go there and hear, and they should be able to go there and participate in a Lutheran worship service. They should be able to go there and hear Lutheran preaching of law and gospel. They should hear Christ and Him crucified every Sunday, every sermon. And then when they go and they say, like our emailer did, says, "Well, I was kind of disappointed because I didn't hear it. It didn't deliver." And sad to say, that is so often the case. And the fault is not of the Lutheran confession. The fault is not of how the preachers were taught. We're just talking about, let's just be honest, we're talking about congregations and pastors who think they have found a better way than preaching Christ in law and gospel. They think they found a better way. They think they found something more important to say than the message of Christ for sinners. And that's all it is that you're watching there. It has its tragic results. Now, does it attract large crowds? Yeah, they're always well attended. Sure they are. And I mentioned before the break, Joel Osteen. Talk about well attended. Listen to his sermons. It's nothing but advice on how to be nice, with himself as the prime example on how to be nice. And he has 40 to 50,000 people a week. Attendance is no measure of faithfulness. It's no measure of whether or not the pastor or the congregation is faithfully doing what pastors and congregations have been called to do. Sometimes a congregation that's being faithful will be well attended, sometimes it won't. It does seem to be a general rule that there's an inversely proportional relationship between how unfaithful a congregation is willing to be, to a degree, keeping the thin veneer of Christianity as long as their morality remains intact, and how well attended the church is. It appears just as a general rule that the more water you add to the mix, the more you dilute it, the more broadly people accept it. So that may explain Joel Osteen's success.
This is Herman calling July 2nd with this summary of thought on the progress of the history of Issues, etc. And particularly since Pastor Wilkin took over from the Don Matzat era and to today, that I would say that he has certainly well developed his question presenting method, and that the questions are so well that even in a sense takes the thoughts right out of my mind in what he says and entailing them in his questions on a particular subject or guest. And also that there are numerous listeners calling in to issues, etc., with very thoughtful and developed insights also. So this is certainly a great blessing that we can see and benefit from. The spreading impact of the issues, etc., and its worldwide outreach is bearing fruit. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity and the work of the Holy Spirit. Thoughts crossing my mind. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. It kind of takes us back to ancient history, the Don Matzett days. Really, the credit does not go to me. I've often said that you could almost, if you have a producer like Jeff Schwarz, you could almost train a chimpanzee to do this job. Almost. Jeff could. I don't know if lesser producers could, but Jeff probably could train a chimp. He might think about that. It's a cheaper option because chimps work for free. To do this, it's the guests, it's the topics. That's what makes Issues Etc. That's people who get the show understand that. That it is not just topical, it is a guest-driven show. And through the efforts of, you know, the tireless efforts of people like Jeff, who just keep hounding these guests until we get them, that's what makes the show the show. So I thank you for your kind words. But the credit goes to the many guests who so thanklessly, even though we do thank them, so thanklessly serve our listeners on Issues Etc. By the way, the Issues Etc. comment line for your questions, comments, criticisms, show suggestions, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
You know, we're about, 12 minutes away from Issues Etc. blog of the week. Attention, bloggers. I still haven't picked mine. I've gone through them all.
Pretty dry, pretty a drought of blog.
A famine.
A famine of blog content.
Yes, so...
See, this is why I was saying a couple weeks ago. This thing might have run its course. I'm not blogging, but trying to draw upon the Lutheran blogosphere might have run its course.
You know, the a good and faithful volunteer and listener and supporter in Milwaukee, Paul Weirman, had a good suggestion. Maybe we should go to Issues Etc. blog of the month. That's a possibility.
That's not a bad idea. Just make it less frequent. We'd have a little more to choose from.
Steve in the Twin Cities. During your interview with Joshua Lingle, it occurred to me that Chrislam is another logical manifestation of the seeker-sensitive movement. Poll your target audience about what they do and don't want to hear in church and modify your message accordingly, whether sin, the Trinity, or Christ's atonement are the casualties. The old nature in all of us, whether irreligious, Muslim, or Christian, always wants to substitute our own ideas about God and our standing with Him. May God continue to cause His word to be spoken plainly and clearly to those both within and without the church. Thanks for all your support of University Lutheran Chapel here in Minneapolis over the past months. It is noted and appreciated. Keep up the good work, writes Steve.
Steve, thank you very much. Thanks for listening up there in the Twin Cities. We did an interview. Who did we talk to about the Insider Movement, Jeff? We talked to somebody from the Christian Research Journal or Modern Reformation about the Insider Movement.
Josh Lingle. He mentioned it in the email.
And then we also touched upon it in our conversation with Mike Horton. And it's basically the Insider Movement is this notion that in order for Christians to reach out to Buddhists, they need to live like Buddhists, be like Buddhists, adopt all the cultural trappings of Buddhism and many of their beliefs too, essentially saying to Buddhists, you can be a Buddhist and be a Christian too. Or in the case of Islam or Chrislam as it may be, you don't have to give up being a Muslim to be a Christian. Now, this is so wrong-headed, it almost doesn't need a response. But your smartest listeners in radio, you're quite right. It is a natural extension of the seeker-driven mentality that we find in many churches, which is you determine your message. The audience is sovereign. That's what George Barna says. The audience is sovereign, not the message. That's George Barna saying that. And so you determine what your audience is, who they are, what they like, what they think, and you tailor your message to appeal to them. Barna doesn't say appeal to them. Barna says stuff like to meet their needs, their felt needs, or to address their issues and concerns. But what it really is you figure out what they think, what they already think, what they already know, who they already are, and then you tailor your message to appeal. Guaranteed success. Now, we do this on a small scale in the church with disastrous results where the message of the church is lost. And then we somehow think we can build an evangelism program to Muslims around it, where we say to Muslims, in effect, you don't have to leave Islam to be a Christian. And that's not even evangelism anymore. One wonders if the end result of that is going to be Christians or Muslims. I mean, what you're really doing is evangelizing for Islam when you adopt this kind of insider movement mentality. They used to call it accommodation. There's another word for it. Cowardice. You're listening to Issues Etc. When we come back, just a little more listener email Issues Etc. comment line. And then, well, maybe we'll have Blog of the Week. Maybe we won't. Stay tuned. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrive and Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrive and Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrive and Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Back by popular demand, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa, Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Well, did you get my message? Ooh, did you get my message?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I kind of like this flying by the seat of the pants thing. Usually we know exactly what's, well, we don't always know exactly what's coming up, but I'm still waiting with suspense to see if Jeff will find a blog pick for this week so that here in the last 5 minutes we might be able to, he might share his blog pick with us. Jeff very seldom leaves me hanging like this without letting me know.
I'm doing my best, my friend. This is James in Naperville. He's talking about the program we did on Monday, I believe it was, reacting to the 2020 ABC special on heaven. What is it, and how do we get there? And he says, given what a pussycat Joel Osteen is normally, I thought he was a veritable tiger when he said that heaven is for those who have faith in Jesus. And I thought your criticism of him being uncomfortable saying so was unwarranted. When I have to explain the doctrine of hell, which is really what people are most concerned about to a non-believer, I say that this is what Jesus and the Bible say, not because I'm uncomfortable with it, but because it's not on my authority that this is true. Moreover, any man who would create a universe that incorporated such a doctrine of salvation would be one sick puppy indeed. That sort of thing is the prerogative of God. And finally, I am indeed uncomfortable with the doctrine of hell. It is an unthinkable thing to me, and I have no good conception of how greatly we must offend God in our sin. Really, when it comes down to what I think that I'm a pretty good guy and only have the Bible's word that I'm not. So I'm a bit surprised that you would be uncomfortable with heaven and hell working as they do. I suppose you would have to make your way to heaven on your own virtue to be comfortable with it, concludes James in Naperville.
I think you might have misunderstood what I was saying about Joel Osteen. It's more of his tone. I don't know if Joel is comfortable or uncomfortable with the doctrine of hell, but he is always apologetic in his tone, sometimes even in his words, that, you know, I kind of have to preach this. He does this when asked about Mormonism, as he often is asked since he's America's pastor and we have a Mormon running for president. You know, are they Christians? I don't know. I don't make that judgment, says Joel. There's always that kind of a wince that I'd rather not be talking about this. That's what I'm talking about here. No one who rightly considers the doctrine of hell could possibly be comfortable with it. You're quite right. It's unthinkable. It's only unthinkable to us because of our warped sense of justice as fallen men. If you're honest with anyone, even someone who faithfully preaches what the Bible says about heaven and hell, you wake them up in the middle of the night and an unguarded moment, they're going to tell you that they just think it's wrong. That men would perish eternally apart from Christ? They say, that's just wrong. But you see, the problem here is with, as the listener well knows, the problem here is with us and not with hell. It's with us and not with God. The what's really wrong is that we would think it's wrong. That we would dare to gainsay God in his perfect justice. That's what's really wrong there.
Richard, a good friend of mine shared with me that his confirmation Bible verse referenced above, Revelation 3, verse 20, has always troubled him regarding a proper understanding. As in the famous painting on this subject, many feel that we must do something, open the door, in order to receive blessings from Christ. A similar, easily misunderstood statement comes at the conclusion of the Athanasian Creed, where we read, "And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire." Could you please clarify and provide, if possible, a simple memory key to avoid salvation by works conclusion? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Richard.
Well, I don't know if I could cook something up on the fly, but what is the Athanasian Creed saying at the end? It's stating the facts that in the end, the judgment, and what's important here is that it is not our judgment. It is not, we have no say in the verdict whatsoever. That in the end, Christ will be proven just, perfectly just in his judgment on the last day in declaring righteous those who have done good. That's the word that the creed uses. In declaring righteous those who have faith in him. And because they are declared righteous by faith in Christ, they can be called, rightly so, truthfully, those who have done good. That good is not the result of their works, although they have done good through faith in Jesus Christ. Good to merit eternal life? No. But they have done good. In fact, Christ even counts their works, imperfect as they are, as perfectly good. So it's not like he's going to have his fingers crossed behind his back when he says, "Come thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." He didn't have his fingers crossed behind. He's being completely honest. By faith, the perfect righteousness of Christ has been imputed to them. They, for Christ's sake, deserve eternal life. For Christ's sake. Christ's righteousness. That's how great it is. And those who die apart from Christ at the judgment, no matter how good their lives may have been, in the end, apart from Christ, cannot be declared righteous. And all their works count against them. And they can be truthfully called those who have done evil. You see, unless we understand the end of that creed in through the lens of Christ and his imputed righteousness, we will end up with a works righteousness, a works judgment. Works play into the judgment. They certainly do. The works, all the works of Christians are remarkably counted as perfectly righteous in the judge's sight for Christ's sake, because all of Christ's works are imputed to them. And all the works, whatever they may be, good or bad, are counted against those who are judged apart from Christ. And again, this isn't Jesus winking or crossing his fingers behind his back. This is the perfect justice of God.
Hey, we just got something from the Android app from MPOP, Michael Patrick O'Connor from Maryland. He said, tell Todd he could never be replaced. It is his insights that make the show as good as it is.
That's not true. I disagree. In this case, MPOP, you are not among the smartest listeners in radio. I completely disagree with that. Look, I listen to a lot of radio, and there are a lot of people out there doing a better job than me. So I will, and I'm not, this isn't false humility, folks. This is just, no one's indispensable. And you know where I get all those insights, MPOP? Get them all from the guests. I steal everything from the guests. I've just done it enough years that it makes it sound like they're mine. So it still goes back to the guests, no matter what you do. In the second hour of Issues Etc., Pastor Jay Ranke is going to join us. You want to stay tuned. This is going to be an amazing conversation with him. The story is amazing in and of itself. There's a Lutheran church up there in North Dakota where he is the pastor, and they're providing a place for job seekers to sleep. Not a few, but dozens, and over the long haul. And then, in the last half hour of Issues Etc., we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.